Tonight's encouragement talk will be given by Brother Alan Richardson.
Paul, I'm wondering if you could turn the lights back to where they were. I would sort of like to give this talk in the evening light that we were enjoying. We won't need to read anything. I've been really enjoying some of the new sutra book passages that we've been reading together, and in a few cases it's the first time I've ever encountered them. Because I haven't had time to read through the new sutra book yet, I keep thinking I will, and now I'm really enjoying being surprised in this way. And it's not because I don't love the tried and true older sutras. I love them more and more, but it's always nice to have these new sources of inspiration, and some of these readings that we've been doing together have been so inspiring. And one that struck me this morning in the sutra service was the rather short one by Lin Ji, our ancestor on the Rinzai side of the family. And one of the things that struck me about it was that I believe that it's the very first time that I've ever heard the name Samantabhadra Bodhisattva in the Zendo other than in the meal service. Mm-hmm. And I actually have this little relationship with Samantabhadra, and I'll tell you why. Because in the first couple of years of Sushin's here at the temple, I often served as Eno or Assistant Eno. And it just so happens that when the rice or the soup or the breakfast cereal bowl gets to you and you're the Eno, that's right when it's time to say Samantabhadra Bodhisattva. And that is the easiest one to forget because it's the one that we never hear about. We all know Manjushri, the Bodhisattva of wisdom, with his sword and sometimes his book and his lion that he sits on or rides, and he comes up in some of our koans. And of course we know Avalokiteshvara, who seems to come up every other sutra as well, she, he, they might. And sometimes as Kuan Yin and sometimes as Kanan or Kanzion, with his, her, their hundred arms and hearing the voices of suffering in the world. But Samantabhadra we just don't hear about. And I didn't have a way to think about Samantabhadra, but I had to pay attention to Samantabhadra, or in leading the chant, I would do something like, so, Bodhisattva, great. And that just wasn't going to work. So I kind of latched on to Samantabhadra, and I decided that I needed to do a tiny bit of research, and I just did a tiny bit. I think, you know, Samantabhadra has his own Wikipedia page, but it's not very long. And there's a chapter about Samantabhadra in a beautiful book I got by Tigan Dan Layton, mm-hmm. called Faces of Compassion. And it's kind of a program guide to the Bodhisattvas. Highly recommended. So I'll tell you a few of the things I learned about Samantabhadra. But one thing that I already had felt about Samantabhadra, based on the one thing I knew, and the one thing I knew about Samantabhadra before I started my research was, guess what? That he was the Bodhisattva of great activity. So I think you all knew that too. And it made so much sense to me that he came in the middle in the meal chant. And I noticed he came in the middle in the Lin Ji reading, Do Your Best, this morning. Because I had this vision of the other two bodhisattvas kind of leaning on him. Because after all, as Buddhists, we really don't see any value in wisdom unless it's put into some kind of action. This is our bodhisattva way as Mahayana Buddhists. Wisdom without action is just a kind of empty accomplishment. And we read in koans about sages that really aren't good for that much until they realize the bodhisattva way. And compassion too. You know, some of us are old enough to remember President Clinton saying, "I feel your pain," and all the teasing he got about it in the press, because it's not enough to feel pain. It's a great start. But, you know, how about doing something about that pain? How about using those 100 arms? And so Manjushri and Avalokiteshvara really come into their full being when they join with Samatha Bhadra in great activity. And these bodhisattvas, you know, of course, are not statues on the mantelpiece, although I see some, and they are not external to us, but they are energies in us that we try to invoke when we do chants like the ones in the meal chant, and when we call on our own great wisdom and great compassion and great activity. So here are a couple of things I found out about Samatha Bhadra. And one is that, like Manjushri, he has an animal companion, but it's not the lion. His animal companion is the elephant. And I really like that. That already told me much of what I wanted to know about Samatha Bhadra. Because, you know, the elephant is this powerful and indomitable animal. And yet, most of the time, the elephant is very peaceful. And his activity is not a frenetic activity, and it's not a ferocious activity, but it's a slow and patient and kind of unending activity. And I was thinking about the elephant in some Asian cultures, and the role of the elephant in helping people. And here's this huge animal that, you know, not even a tiger wants to take it on. The biggest animal in the forest, and yet it will lean down and kneel down to give people rides, and it will serve the village, pulling up trees, and it's the tractor of the pre-modern eras. And you know, how wonderful. So the elephant is a bodhisattva. The elephant doesn't need to do any of these things and doesn't get anything for them. But the elephant, something about it, you can't make an elephant do something. It must just want to help. And so another thing I found out about Samatha Bhadra is that he has a female consort. And her name is Samatha Bhadri. So I like to think about their first meeting. Your name is Samatha Bhadra. You're going to freak out. So this is nice too, because this is another of Samatha Bhadra's and Samatha Bhadri's great activities, is that they consort together, and there are representations of them in the tantric yabhyam pose, which involves two people and a minimum of clothing. And I won't say more, because we already had a PG Dharma talk, and we don't need an R-rated one. But I think you can figure it out. And this is, you know, wonderful for us lay Buddhists. This is an invitation to us, given that the Buddhist tradition has so often emphasized monastic life and celibacy. But here's a bodhisattva who has this rich, intimate life, who has this wonderful commitment to real opening in intimate erotic and other kinds of behavior. So Samantabhadra is also the bodhisattva of active intimacy. And another way that he appeals to lay Buddhists is just in this emphasis on action, which can be action in the world. And in Dan Layton's chapter, he talks about manifestations of Samantabhadra in people that are not Buddhists, but whose activities harmonize with our way, like Gandhi, you know, as a manifestation of Samantabhadra, or Mother Teresa, or Nelson Mandela, a hero of my youth, people who bring about change without violence, and through the kind of slow, steady persistence and great heartedness that we associate with Samantabhadra's elephant. No hurry, just a lot of commitment. So, what is our great activity here? How do we manifest Samantabhadra right now? And I think you all know, because our teacher Diane told us the very first night of Sesshin, all those many years ago, that our great activity is eating rice and drinking tea. And we have been finding many ways of eating rice and drinking tea together. And sometimes we're making rice and brewing tea, and sometimes we're serving rice and serving tea, and sometimes being served rice and being served tea. And so on, all through the Sesshin day, so many opportunities for great activity, so many opportunities for great-heartedness and for intimacy. And it's not that we do these things perfectly. Great activity is not a flawless activity. Please don't think that it is. I had a junior high school band teacher who used to tell us, if you're going to make a mistake, make a big one. Because he didn't want us to be kind of, you know, mumbling through our horns and afraid that somebody would hear us do something wrong. He wanted us to just really, you know, blat out that wrong note. And, you know, we made him happy. And if he had been a Zen teacher and not a band teacher, I think he would be really happy with this Sesshin. And I'm happy every time there's a mistake, because it's a sign that we are stretching ourselves, that we're trying new things, and that we're not being shy about it, that we're really putting ourselves out there. And this is another aspect, another manifestation of our great activity. I find that the worst mistakes I make these days, and I've been becoming aware of this, is in trying to be perfectionist and not make mistakes, and trying to get ahead of the mistakes, and trying to make everything come out right. And I find when I do that, sometimes, you know, it just really backfires. And sometimes I drive people crazy, and sometimes I hurt people. And, you know, this will happen. And what I'm trying to do is to make more of the mistakes that amuse people and fewer the ones that hurt them. And this is a kind of vow that I'm making. And this is the last thing I'll tell you that I learned about Samantabhadra, is that he is closely associated with vow. He's the bodhisattva of vow. And this makes so much sense, because our vows are nothing without our great activity. And our great activity starts with vow. And we're making vows together every day. Our bodhisattva vows. And then we put those vows into activity. And, you know, when we try and vow and still make the mistake and hurt someone, we can atone. And that's still another great activity that we can perform together and we vow to atone every morning. And what a wonderful vow. It's really been helping me. And really, the sutra service is kind of full of recommendations and vows for great activities. And I recommend it to you in that sense. And so, by way of encouragement to you and to me, by way of encouragement, let me ask us all tonight and tomorrow morning, every moment that remains of this retreat, let us do everything in the spirit of great activity. Every chant, every bow, let's not do the half bows, just a really sincere bow. And let's manifest the Bodhisattva Samantabhadra. Each bite of rice, each sip of tea, each in-breath and each out-breath doing zazen. And if this gets too hard, we can just ask Samantabhadra to do it for us, and he will manifest in us, because this is what the bodhisattvas do. They manifest in us when we call on them. And so, every activity with the heart of an elephant, and meeting everything that comes up with searing intimacy. Samantabhadra Bodhisattva, great activity.